Shrink Wrap Radio number 25, February 11, 2006. Neuro-Linguistic Programming with Patty McDermott. Welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's premier psychology podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dave, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Shrink Wrap Radio is the show that speaks from the psychologist in me to the psychologist in you, whether you be amateur, student, or professional. Some time back, I received an email comment from a listener who happened to mention that she is an NLP practitioner. Since NLP, or Neuro-Linguistic Programming, is a very popular modality with its adherents, I thought it might be a good topic for Shrink Wrap Radio. As it happens, my NLP listener, Patty McDermott, lives not far from here. We had a couple of very lively telephone conversations, but somehow we couldn't get our busy schedules to match up for a face-to-face meeting. So I settled for a phone interview. Here is NLP practitioner Patty McDermott. Okay, Patty McDermott, welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, we're really
happy to be here.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to have you. I know you're a very busy person. We had a lot of a hard time setting up this appointment because your schedule's busy, my schedule's busy, but I'm glad to have you here now.
I'm very excited to be sharing my tools with you, my skills and information. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're a practitioner of NLP, so let's start out by having you tell us, in your own words, what NLP is.
Well, NLP stands for, the letters stand for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So Neuro-Linguistic Programming, what that word means is it's basically the language of the mind, understanding how the mind is storing information, how it's processing information, and working with that. Everything that is stored in the mind, memories, conditioned responses, information, mental and emotional states, it's all stored as memory. And memory is stored in the mind through patterns that are comprised of the five senses.
Okay.
And with NLP, we understand how to access that information. We understand how it's stored. And so we're able to work with those patterns, and we can enhance. If someone has a state of confidence, for example, that they want to have bigger in more contexts, then we can access their confidence and enhance that. If someone has a state of mind that's not working for them, that's blocking them or interfering with their success or their life in some way, then we can access that pattern and we can actually change the pattern using the NLP technology to actually change the pattern that is stored in the mind.
Okay, well, that gives us some sense of what NLP is about, but I think to help us understand it even more, maybe you could just quickly give us an overview of the history of NLP. Where did it come from?
Well, the NLP was first founded by the two founders, who are Richard Bandler and John Grinder. Richard and John met in Santa Cruz, California in 1972, and they met and became friends at UC Santa Cruz, at the university there, and they were both of them very involved with Fritz Perls and Gestalt therapy.
Okay.
And they were also very interested in the work that Milton Erickson had done. And
yeah, the famous hypnotherapist, I should let people know, Milton Erickson is the kind of the granddaddy of a certain style of hypnotherapy.
Yes, yes. And also Virginia Satir is another model for the origin of NLP.
Right, and she's widely recognized as the mother of family therapy.
Exactly. And John and Richard studied all three of those people and actually worked with Milton Erickson and studied directly with him. They had already studied extensively with Fritz Perls, and they extensively studied. They watched videos after videos after videos and would stop at key moments when they would see that something was changing in the client and really analyze, technically analyze, what had occurred in that moment that created a change, and actually developed steps and procedures that replicated the success that those people were having in their work with their clients. And that was the origin of the very first NLP tool.
Right, and I can fill in a little bit more here, too, on Bandler and Grinder, because I know that Bandler had been a computer programmer. Grinder was a university linguist, I believe.
Exactly.
And so they applied their skills from these two different backgrounds, studying these super great therapists to see if they could model their work, if they could develop
exactly.
an underlying model, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And when we talk about history, we talk about Bandler and Grinder as the beginning of NLP, and they are the founders, and they're the ones that named it NLP. They're the ones that put together the beginning of the specific tools that we still use in our NLP processes. And when we think about history, I think it's important to also consider that some of the things that they discovered are not things that they invented. They didn't invent NLP. They were very, very good at observing and watching the successes that other people were having, who had learned their things from other people
mm-hmm,
also.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about history, we have to go all the way back to ancient history. The origin of hypnosis, for example, is based in shamanism. And the eye-accessing cues, for example, is one of the really key discoveries that Bandler and Grinder made in the early 70s was pertaining to the eye accessing cues, and that when someone is looking in a particular direction, they're actually accessing different parts of their brain, and that we can use that information as part of our NLP technology. And the eye cues are actually documented in the Sanskrit text and are used in Ayurvedic medicine.
Interesting. I didn't know that. So that gives us a sense of the history. Let's bring it more to the present. I'm wondering, in what sorts of settings are people using NLP these days, and to work on what sorts of issues or problems?
Well, NLP is most widely being used in the corporate world.
Really?
And the business applications of NLP are extensive. That's not actually the area that I'm most working in, and I'm not really doing very much work in the corporate world, but that is the area where most of the NLP is happening in the world, is in the corporate world. And in my training, the group of people who I graduated as a master practitioner with, probably 80% of the people in my training group were already working in management positions in the corporate world. And many of them were actually sponsored. Their trainings were paid for by the corporation that they worked for. So a lot of the people who came as trainers for my training are people who work in top corporations as consultants and trainers and helping people to achieve at their greatest possible level, accessing high states of confidence, being really effective at decision making, being really good at planning and organizing. So NLP is most widely being used in the corporate world.
Okay,
that's not really the area that I'm working in.
Right.
I'm working in more personal kinds of issues is more the area that I work with. I specialize in helping people with health issues, and people come to me with problems. They come to me because they're having an issue. Sometimes it's a work-related issue, and so I work with them on that. If they have a career issue, then that's what we work on. If it's a relationship issue, just whatever are the problems that people have. And NLP, the applications of NLP are are anything that we use the mind for. And so the applications of NLP are basically for any purpose, because NLP is working with the language of the mind.
Well, that raises a question that I was wondering about, which is whether or not there are any issues or problems that you see for which NLP is not the right approach. Because I know you're a big fan of it. Are there any times when a different approach would be more appropriate?
Well, NLP is considered by the state of California to be complementary medicine. And with NLP, of course, sometimes it's best for someone to have a varied approach to their work. It's common for me to work with a client who is working with other people as well as working with me.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of the areas that I specialize in, I have a couple of little niches, and actually I have two very specific niches. And when I'm working with someone in those areas, it's common for me to strategize with them, for them to collaborate with other people other than working just with me. I have a niche of helping people to pass the bar exam to become licensed attorneys.
Oh, that sounds
and
like a good one.
And I always recommend someone who's taking the bar exam that they work with some really specific study materials, such as the bar review course, and I talk with them extensively about what is their strategy for taking the bar exam. I also specialize in helping people with fertility issues, and it's often the case where someone who's coming to me with fertility problems, that they also need to be working with a fertility specialist. They need to be going to the fertility clinics and working with fertility doctors. And also, sometimes it's very beneficial for someone to include Chinese medicine, for example, and work with the Chinese herbs that are really can be very effective for someone who's having fertility issues. So I will work with someone with fertility issues, I will work with them on whatever blocks they might have around becoming pregnant. If they have, sometimes people have fears about parenting, or they're having relationship issues, or they're having some kind of psychological issue related to their fertility, and I will help them to clear that. I can also use my NLP skills to actually talk with the part of their body that is in charge of the fertility. We actually do very specific programming around hormone levels. I get very technical with this.
So you really see this as a mind-body technique?
That's what it is exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind is not just the brain. The mind is the whole system. The mind includes the body. So I'm not talking about a brain and body connection. I'm talking about the mind as the whole thing.
Okay.
The mind and the body really are the same system.
To help us understand this even more concretely, maybe you have a case history or two that you could share with us that somehow give us a sense of what the issue was, what kind of technique or techniques you used, and how it turned out.
Well, I can give you lots of stories. I have so many wonderful stories. And one of the things that I like the best about NLP is that it works. And so I have a lot of wonderful success stories that I can share with you. I can share some examples of working with people very quickly and getting very, very fast results. NLP has a reputation for working very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're able to work out what we think is going to be a complicated problem in one or two sessions. I had a client one time who came to me. She had recently been married, and she was unable to sleep in the same bed with her husband because he snored really loud. And
that's a fairly common problem.
Every night she would go to bed with her husband and wait until he fell asleep, and then she would get up and sleep in the guest room every night. And I did my usual first session of really thoroughly asking her all the questions that I usually ask with a new client. I do an intake process as my first session. And I had a whole plan of how I was going to work with her. And I told her that I thought that we should plan to work a minimum of four times, And I thought that I was going to be doing a lot of stuff that was really related to sound and helping her to do a mental translation that the snoring sounded like something else that was pleasant to her, for example. Or I had a bunch of ideas of how I was going to work with her. And when I did the original intake, I found that there was a part of her, an internal part, like a subpersonality might be another name for that, that really liked to have time to herself. She really liked to have some amount of time every day where she went in her sewing room and did craft projects or writing projects, and that she really needed to do that. And her husband didn't really like it that she did that. But this was a part of her that I discovered when I did my intake with her. So I worked with that part first, and we actually did a kind of a gestalt kind of process with that part that liked for her to have some time alone, and found out that that was the part of her that was getting her out of bed and putting her in the guest room every night. Hmm. And when we had one conversation that took maybe an hour with that part sitting in a chair. And we made deals with that part that she would come home from work every day, go into her sewing room and close the door, and that she would spend a minimum of 1 hour every day alone doing a sewing project or a craft project or something like that that she enjoyed, regardless of if her husband liked it or not, that was something that she was just going to work out with her husband. Well, she stopped having the problem falling asleep with her husband. She completely stopped having that problem that night.
Wow, that's great.
And when she called me, she said, "I know that I said that I would do 4 sessions with you. I'm willing to do the 2 more sessions if you really think I need to." And I said, "Well, just keep in touch with me. If it becomes a problem again, then we'll work some more." But I contacted her, I stayed in touch with her, and she never had the problem falling asleep with her husband again. The part that was getting her out of bed to go in the next room was the part that wanted her to sew.
That story wasn't a snoring
problem at all.
Yeah, that story triggers a story of my own. Maybe I did a little jujitsu NLP on myself without knowing it, but I was on a camping trip in Yosemite in one of those sort of tent cabin things where you're sort of cheek to jowl with a lot of other people. And I'm pretty sensitive to noise, and there was a tent full of people quite close to us that were making a lot of noise, and they were kind of partying, and I was, you know, starting to get anxious and angry, thinking, oh my God, how am I going to get to sleep? And I did this mental shift. I just thought, well, you know, if these were my kids making this noise, I wouldn't have any problem sleeping at all. So I'm just going to imagine that these people are my kids, that I'm upstairs, and my kids are meeting with friends downstairs, and I can hear the noises coming up through the floor, but I'm filled with love because they are my kids, and so I can accept it. And you know, I was able to get to sleep that night, and I've been able to use that little mental trick with myself in several other instances since then.
That's a perfect example. It's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And sometimes we're able to do things that are really simple like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the problems are more complex. And sometimes when I'm working with someone, we have a result that's really fast like that, and it's very exciting when that happens. And NLP has a reputation for working that way. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I'm working with people over a matter of months rather than over a matter of sessions. NLP is still much faster than anything else that I've encountered.
Okay.
But sometimes it is a little bit like chipping away at a rock. And eventually we do get there. But sometimes the work is cumulative. And I'll do a piece of work, and then I'll do another piece of work, and then another piece of work. And it all comes together to create a synergistic breakthrough result that is often quite large, but sometimes it takes a little longer than the 1 or 2 sessions that we hope for.
Yeah.
So,
how did you personally come to be involved with NLP in the first place?
I was in hypnosis training in 1990, And the teacher of the hypnosis school wanted us to have an introduction to NLP. And she did an evening of demos. And she asked the group if there was anyone who had a phobia. And I had a little phobia. It wasn't a big problem. It was a small phobia, but I was anxious to not have it. And
What were you scared of, if I may ask?
I had a fear of ladders.
Okay.
I didn't have a fear of heights, but I had a fear of being up on ladders.
Okay.
And it was probably because my grandfather was a carpenter. I probably saw him have an accident as a child, and for some reason I would get up onto a ladder and I would start to have a panic attack.
Okay.
And so I was really looking forward to not having this phobia anymore. And also, my mother and my father both are extremely phobic, and I know that phobias run in the family, so I wasn't looking forward to keeping this phobia and have it develop into further phobias. Looking at the level of phobia in my family, I did not want to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy to have an opportunity to work on this phobia. And she did a demo with me, and I don't remember what exactly she did because I was in a light trance at the time. But it was a 10-minute demo that got rid of that phobia completely. And I've been up on extension ladders on the second story of the outside of the house. So I know that this works. And I'm able to use any kind of ladder now. I'm probably a little safer than the average person. You know, I check the ladder. I've seen people just lean a ladder up against the house and then just go up it like they're going upstairs. I probably have my ladder a little more steady than someone who works on a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more
mm-hmm.
careful.
Right.
But I'm able to function in the world fully and not be limited by a phobia anymore. And it was a 10-minute demo. And that impressed me so much. The best thing that I learned in my hypnosis training was that I wanted to study NLP. And I went as quickly as I could from hypnosis training into NLP study. And when I went into NLP study, I studied it extensively. I really went into NLP as deeply as I possibly could. I had a fantastic training. And that was all in the early 90s when I did that. And I still say it was the very best NLP training that anyone could ever have. It was very extensive and very thorough. And I'm very, very happy that I had such an excellent NLP training. And then a couple years after that, went and became certified as an NLP health practitioner and specialized in learning the NLP applications, the health applications of NLP.
Let me ask you about an application, because when you were talking about your phobia, you said you almost went into a panic attack, and that made me think of a friend of mine who has been having some panic attacks. How would you work with a person if they came to you with panic attacks?
Well, panic attacks can be a very simple problem to stop. There's some very simple mind control techniques that are very easy to learn. I have an article on my website that I wrote so that people could learn to stop their panic attacks on their own. And if someone wants to go to my website, it's nlppati.com is my website. And in my articles page, there's an article on how to stop a panic attack. So if someone is having just a very simple panic attack problem, often it's enough just to learn what a panic attack is. It's an adrenaline response caused by a fear thought. And if someone can learn to stop the fear thought, then they can learn to stop the panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't necessarily need to have a bunch of NLP to stop having panic attacks. But people who are having an ongoing issue with more severe panic attacks that they're not able to stop on their own, then they're having an anxiety issue. And then I'm going into some deeper exploration to what is the cause of the anxiety, what is the origin of the anxiety, how long has this condition persisted for, when did it start, and really looking often into childhood conditioning and what is the origin of this problem, how long has this been going on for, how is this limiting the person right now in their life. I work with a lot of people to help them pass the bar exam and to help to pass licensing exams, and anxiety, of course, is a big issue for people who are taking the bar exam. And so sometimes what we look at is the more immediate concern. What can we do about this now without necessarily going into all of their past? Mm-hmm. If they have an immediate problem, can we address this with an immediate with an immediate process? And I always go for the simple stuff first and try to get as much change and resolution using the fastest things that I have first. And if the problem persists after I've used some of the more obvious techniques, then I will delve deeper and find what is happening on the more complicated level. And often it's related to something that happened in childhood,
yeah,
for example.
Well, Patty, I need to interrupt. You are a treasure trove of information, but I'm going to need to close off our interview here.
Okay.
Maybe we can have you back another time. I will definitely put a link in the show notes to your website so that interested listeners can go there to get more information, or if they want to get in touch with you, they'll see how they can do that. I wonder if, as we close things off here, if there's a book or two that you could recommend to any of our listeners who might want more information about neuro-linguistic programming.
The book that I most recommend is NLP, The New Technology of Achievement. It's writings of several of the NLP trainers. Actually, most of the people who are my teachers are in that book, and it's a good general overview of NLP. It explains what it is, and there's some very, very good practical applications that are outlined in that book. There's a lot of information on my website, and if someone looks at my links page, then they'll find a lot of resources. And I have a secret page in my website. If someone wants even more material than what is obvious on my website, they can send me an email and I'll tell them the secret of how to find my secret page.
Ooh, what a teaser.
And
great.
Also, there's a movie that it's not a movie about NLP, but it's a movie that a lot of NLP people really like, that goes into how the mind works, and that's the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, yes.
Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did see it.
So that's a movie that says a lot about how the mind works and all the mental states and inner parts and inner workings of the mind and the mind-body connection.
Right.
But my website is also a wealth of information.
That's wonderful. So I really want to thank you for taking the time to share all this information with us, and maybe we can have you back again sometime.
Be happy to, David. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, well, I sure hope you enjoyed that interview. Actually, I have some prior experience with NLP. I took a training workshop with the founders, Bandler and Grinder, back when they were first getting started. And for myself, I had mixed feelings about the approach. Since I was already steeped in the work of hypnotherapist Milton Erickson, as well as in family therapy and gestalt therapy, much of it struck me as old wine in new bottles. Moreover, the very name neuro-linguistic programming suggests a highly scientific approach rooted in brain science. While Bandler and Grinder do rationalize their techniques in terms of then-current ideas about left brain versus right brain processing and so on, I'm not aware of any research that has actually tested their assertions. My impression is that they grabbed onto some popular notions and simplistic notions about neurological functioning and dress their ideas up in the trappings of science. That having been said, however, The techniques of NLP may still be quite effective for some people in some situations. For example, I don't doubt that my guest Patty gets the wonderful results she describes. In my opinion, though, the effectiveness of successful NLP practitioners may be more the result of good shamanism than good science. I'm all for good shamanism. I'm also for good science. And I think it's important not to confuse the two. Now, I have to say that there are two experiences that I took away from that Bandler and Grinder training that have stayed with me. A lot of their techniques utilize visualization, and it frustrates me that while I have trained many students and patients to be good visualizers, I'm not a particularly good one myself. During a break, I shared my frustration about this with Bandler and Grinder. They asked me if I was willing to try something, and I said yes. They asked me to close my eyes and check in with all my parts to see if there was any reason why I should not be allowed to visualize or see pictures in my head clearly. When I put this question to myself, I was surprised to have a memory immediately surface that I had not given conscious thought to in many years. What popped up was a memory from when I was 9 or 10 years old. I had an uncle who was a homicide detective in Watts, a very rough part of Los Angeles. One day he took me to work with him. I was really excited to go on such an adventure. In the course of that day, he showed me a pack of crime scene photographs of people who had been murdered and others of people who had committed suicide. Clearly, this was not something he should have shown to a young child. The fact that that memory surfaced when I was asked to check in with my parts as to why I was not a good visualizer strikes me as compelling evidence that viewing those crime photos was more traumatic than I had realized, and that it had caused my visualization ability to shut down as a way of screening out this traumatic visual memory. The other thing that I took away from that training was the concept of doing a dual hypnotic induction. My friend, Dr. Ron Alexander, who also was in attendance at that same training, and together we learned to do this dual hypnotic induction. Now, the dual hypnotic induction is a technique that we've been using in the workshops we've been leading together in Hawaii and Europe. We call for a volunteer who wants to use trance to explore some issue within themselves. We will then position that person between the two of us. Ron and I will be speaking at the same time, each of us doing a simultaneous hypnotic induction, one in the person's right ear and the other in their left ear, presumably one of us speaking primarily to the left brain and the other to the right brain. Whether or not that is really how it works or not, it is a powerful approach inasmuch as it is an Ericksonian confusion technique, flooding the person with more information than they can consciously track. Both Ron and I are speaking at a very metaphorical level during this experience, planting metaphors that are intended to promote healing and well-being. The people who have been on the receiving end of this report that it is has a powerful impact on them. And for Ron and I, it's fun for us to do because it's like jazz and we're just kind of riffing off one another. Patty mentioned that NLP has many applications in the corporate world, and I'm particularly interested to learn more about those. And I'll be looking for a guest with that particular expertise for an upcoming show.
Hey Dave, this is Jamie Nelson from the DigiPlanet podcast at digiplanet.com. I'm a big fan of Shrink Wrap Radio, and I just wanted to leave a quick audio comment about number 24, where you interviewed Muhammad, the young man from Baghdad, Iraq. I want to thank you for that very interesting interview. I thought Muhammad was very brave and revealing. I don't know what I would do in a similar situation, living in a war zone like that. And I just really appreciated being able to get a real person's insight and not some talking head on CNN as to what life is like there. So many thanks for that interview, and keep up the good work.
Jamie, thanks so much for your comment. I recommend Jamie's podcast, Dig Planet, to any fans of the didgeridoo, of which I'm one. And listener Annalisa sent the following message. She says, to Muhammad in Iraq, ever since we learned that American troops would be sent to Iraq, there were prayer vigils started all over America. These prayers were for the Iraqi people, the children, the mothers, the non-combatants, and all who wished for peace. Today, prayers are said in churches, mosques, temples, meeting halls, and groves. Those offering the prayers include all the diverse religions of our nation. The prayers are from those of us who opposed the war and those who believed it was the right thing to do. We pray that you will understand that most Americans wish the Iraqi people no harm. We pray for your leaders as we pray for ours. Most of all, we pray for peace. Annalisa goes on to say, I was so grateful to hear you on Shrink Wrap Radio, to know that our prayers have been felt, that even one of you understands how horrified we are by what has happened. May our Creator bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He look upon you with favor and grant you peace. So we certainly thank Annalisa for expressing those sentiments on the behalf not only of herself, but really so many of us who heard your moving story, Muhammad. I hope you're listening today and that you get to hear this message. In fact, letters and voice comments such as these are very important to us to keep us motivated to keep putting out this show. As always, I love hearing from listeners, so please email me at shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com. You can find our show notes at www.shrinkwrapradio.com. You can also leave voicemail for ShrinkPod on Skype or Gizmo Project. And to make it really easy, we also have a phone in the U.S. where you can leave voicemail, and that number is 206-888-2746. I have some exciting news to share with you. Perhaps you've heard of Adam Curry, who in the press has been referred to as the Podfather because he played a very significant role in getting this whole podcasting revolution going. He and his partner, Ron Bloom, are in the process of creating a podcasting network known as Podshow, or PDN for the Podcast Distribution Network. Shrink Wrap Radio is one of the first 30 shows invited to be a part of the Podshow network. And we're happy about that. Hopefully, this will help us get some PR and to attract more listeners. Also, there will be opportunities for you to become more involved, and I'll have more to say about that as time goes by. In the meantime, though, I received this greeting from another new member of the Podshow family.
Hey, Dr. Dave, this is KSC from the Pod Chick Show. I just wanted to extend a nice, warm Pod Chick welcome to the Pod Show. I'm also a new member of the family, and I'm so excited to be working with so many interesting people. I was just listening to your promo, and what an awesome concept. I am so excited because the kind of things that you're talking about on your show are so perfectly in line with the kind of stuff that I'm also trying to share is, you know, how do we get past all of these barriers that we build for ourselves? Now, I am just one of those amateurs in this. I'm not a doctor, but I'm hoping that we can align and possibly even do a show together. And I'm sure that if we approach these things from all different directions, we'll be able to help even more people enjoy their lives and enrich themselves and make them smile. Bye-bye now.
Thanks so much for that, Kaya. I will look forward to working with you in the future. Hey, I don't know if you've noticed any difference in the sound quality of this show compared to previous shows, but I would be interested in your feedback. In the past, I've been using a setup that costs about $500 to assemble, and today I've bypassed all of that in favor of a $40 USB headset.
and I think maybe it sounds better. I'm not sure. So I would sure appreciate some feedback from you on that score. Well, once again, I've run longer than I intended. Stay tuned for the PodSafe music selection right after our closing theme music. You'll find a link in our show notes to the PodSafe artist. If you like her music, I encourage you to go to the link on our show notes at shrinkwrapradio.com and buy her CD. We have Natalie Brown performing You Gotta Believe. That's it for now. This is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind.
Thank you.